Testament, the lesson appointed for this Sunday, God proclaims through his prophet Isaiah, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. In a limited sense, I believe that we understand that God is above all, over all in heaven and in earth. But I say in a limited sense because I know for myself when I go to my two garden plots at the community garden, I tend to forget that they belong to God. Truth is, when I get there, I open that gate and I go in and I see my two plots, I'm all ready to weed and water and harvest the produce that's ready. And it's easy for me to forget that there's another side to all of this. The garden, it seems to me, is all about me, first and last, but it isn't. It's really all about God. And God is really first and last always, everywhere. And that will never change. In our parable this morning, Jesus wants people to understand that he is the first and the last, that he's above all, over all, and we can trust him completely. The parable says a man planted good wheat seed in his field, and at night, while he was asleep, an enemy planted weed seeds among his wheat seed. Now, the word that's used for weed seed is darnel. And there's a reason for that, because it was a known weed. And Jesus is talking about something that was known to all of his listeners at that time. When you use this weed seed, darnel, it is a weed that looks very much like wheat. And it grows in the weed-growing areas of the world, along with wheat. It not only looks like wheat, it's very hard to tell when the plants are young whether it's wheat or darnel. It is only, as it says, when the wheat, after some weeks, begins to grow heads that the farmer can look and determine whether it is wheat he's got or darnel. And it has to do with the head of the wheat. The head of the wheat will form, will go down, and the weed one will stick up a little. By the time that you can identify that weed or darnel in your wheat, it's too late to pull it out, because if you pull it out, you're just going to ruin much of the wheat. The farmer would need to wait to harvest the time, and then he would cut the weeds out and burn them. The weeds or darnel have a seed or grain that looks very much like wheat. It weighs about the same as wheat, but what happens, it will turn black. And this darnel seed is poisonous, both to livestock and to humans. And the farmer has to be very careful in harvesting. If he goes to harvest that darnel and it's really ripe, those seeds might start flying around, and they're poisonous. So he has to very carefully get those weeds out of there to protect his good wheat. In this parable, Jesus is referring to an act of revenge that was even acknowledged by the law at that time. It was part of the Roman law, it was part of all the law. It was not uncommon for an enemy to plant weed seed or darnel in the wheat of another person. It was an underhanded way of costing the enemy loss of wheat and a stress in trying to harvest because it was very hard to keep the seeds separate, the weed from the real seed. Sometimes it could be done and sometimes it couldn't. It was against the law to plant seeds in another person's field, but it was done with regularity. Not all the time. By regularity, I mean with someone with a grudge against an enemy would do it. It was done often enough that there was a law against it. We would call it an act of revenge, or I would call it an act of sabotage, an act to destroy the wheat of the other person. When God created everything from nothing through His Word, it was good, as everything, He said it. All that He created was good, including the first man and the first woman. But the devil was an enemy of God, is an enemy of God, and he acted to spoil God's creation. And he tempted Adam and Eve, and the goodness of God was spoiled by sin and its evil on earth. The devil has been working ever since to encourage us to believe that God is not above everything, and he will not, at the right time, separate the good from the bad. In our world, there is both the sons and daughters of Jesus and the sons and daughters of the devil. Now, some of you will be offended when I say this, but it is not always easy to tell the difference between who belongs to God and who doesn't. Sometimes, if I were to look at you, it might seem evident that you belong to God, and sometimes when I look at you again, it might be evident that you belong to the devil. And you're going to say, you've never seen me when I belong to the devil. You'd be surprised. Faith in God is in our hearts, and it can't be seen by looking at the outside. God did not put us in control of evil. He didn't say, I created you to weed out the evil. He said, it's going to remain to the end of time, and I'm going to take care of it. Didn't give us that job. What he challenges us to do is to confess the evil that's within us and to share the hope that we have that God is above all and he's in control of ultimate good, and he is in control of the evil, and most of all, he's patient. He's patient for the good and the evil to exist beside each other until it's his time for the harvest of the souls. Our hope is in the finished victory of Jesus over sin and death and the devil. And yes, the devil and sin and death remain with us, but Jesus has overcome evil with his good. He took the punishment of sin that he didn't deserve, that evil could be swallowed up in his victory, in his pureness, in his righteousness. And he calls you and I, and he calls everyone, but some won't heed the call. He calls everyone to grow in his good seed of forgiveness and to grow in new life as we put him above all that we trust in. And that includes ourselves, because there's a blindness that we often trust ourselves more than God. The time will come when Jesus, the Son of Man, will return from heaven and send his angels to gather those who belong to the devil and cast them into the fiery furnace. Those that are his sons and daughters will be gathered to himself and heaven. When Jesus returns, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess he is Lord. There will be no doubt anywhere that he is above all and totally in charge of good and of the evil. Until that time, we're called to confess Jesus as our Lord and our Savior through faith. We are challenged to keep turning our wills and our lives over to Jesus so that as we live our lives, Jesus is above all else. And that's something to think about. Would it be that Jesus is above all else as you live your life? He is to be the first and the last in who we are and who we are, who we seek to be. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.